Players ready? Play. 15 seed here. I'm in Madrid, the capital of Spain. It's the 22nd of April 2024. Thanks for coming on my journey on the tennis circuit throughout the 2024 season. This podcast is always intended to be a diary or my journal for myself, but I've been very grateful for the various messages of support and the questions as well. One such email was from John. I have to say he did take me to task for giving myself 8 out of 10 for my performance in Monte Carlo. He said that where I was beaten so comprehensively by a player, even if it, in particular where it's not a top 4 player, that I shouldn't be satisfied with my performance, and I think he rated me at 6 out of 10. But in my defence, I'll say I lost to Stefanos Tsitsipas, who was simply too good, and he actually went on and won the tournament, beating Jannik Sinner, best player in the world at the moment, and then Casper Ruud, a fine clay courter, in the final in straight sets. So that's my defence, but I take his point. But John was a bit more charitable when it came to Madrid. He was telling me it's by the email that's one of his favourite cities of the world, and that I should be there appreciating the history and the architecture and the educated nature of the Spanish people in the capital, and told me the places to visit and what I should be reading up on. And one of the things he told me was about a particular podcast called The Rest is History, and to go through and listen to something on Madrid and the history of Spain through that. So I'll make it my point to do so. But I think as a result of what John has said, I really do appreciate the tree-lined streets of Madrid, the old buildings, the fact that there are no skyscrapers, high-rise buildings. I mean, it really makes it an attractive and city, very walkable city. I know it's quite hilly and it's elevated, very high altitude for a capital city, but I really do enjoy being here in Madrid. And the thing that always surprised me, I always expected it to be a much warmer climate, and today it's about 19 degrees Celsius, which is about 66 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's pretty well what is expected to be the case for the rest of the week and the tournament. Before talking of the tennis here in Madrid, I've been asked a question about the distribution of prize money from Karen. So, Karen, I'll take it on notice because I think it deserves a considered response with, you know, supporting material. But what I can say is I think as a sport we do let ourselves down. We're only players in the top 100 can make a comfortable living. Where player number 200 can't afford to travel with a coach and make any money, and player 300 in the world is basically broke, then I think it's a very poor model. I do understand, I do get it's a competitive world, that the public want to see the best, not the rest. That if you can't make the grade, well, go and do something else. But I don't subscribe to that theory. We all have to have started from somewhere, and it shouldn't be as difficult as it is. Other major sports, whether it's football, cricket, US football, baseball, basketball, golf, whatever, top 300 players in the world make a comfortable and reasonable living. And, you know, with our the sport, the prize money that we've got, we should be able to do that. I mean, in other sports, they pool funds and then distribute, on a percentage basis, not necessarily tied to week-to-week results. We have other sports that a funding model puts funds aside for pensions or super, or making sure that there's funds available to players when they're at the end of their sporting journey. And I think we could do a lot better as a sport in that regard. You think of how many people play tennis worldwide, and, you know, competitive tennis, you know, you aspire to be professionals. It's hard to think, and you know, that, you know, I mean, the top 300 players are sensational players. They're very talented players who have had to work hard to get where they are, and they deserve and are entitled to make a reasonable living. So tournaments wouldn't survive with just the top 10 players or even the top 50 players. You need a strong talent pool, and there is sufficient funds to enable player 300 in the world to do quite well. And I do regret the difference between the haves and the haves not. It's far too large, and I'm lucky that I'm a beneficiary of being in the haves, and I've been able to make a very good living, and I'll be comfortable once I finish the sport. But I think we have an obligation to make sure that other players who, you know, may only achieve a 200, 250 ranking in the world are able to participate. It's global sport. The expenses are significant. They should be able to compete on a fair and even basis, and at the end of their time in the sport, then they can retire with a reasonable amount of monies. So I'll need to come back to you, Karen, and argue it a bit more fully and refine my position, because there are moves underway at the moment to review how tournaments are run, controlled, funds are distributed, and who's going to represent the players and how they're regulated. So there's a lot going on in this space. I'm taking your question on board, and we'll be back to you in the course of my year's podcast. Stay listening. Okay, the tennis in Madrid. Another question I've had from Yuri what is the speed of the clay at Madrid, the surface, compared to the other tournaments that I'll be playing in the course of this part of the season? So, Yuri, I'm playing Monte Carlo. I'm playing Madrid, where we are this week, going back to Rome in Italy, and then finish up at Roland Garros. So all of the courts do differ. Now, it's going to depend on quite a number of factors. I mean, the weather, whether it's wet or not, whether they've watered the clay, the nature of the balls, whether you're playing in the middle of the day or in the evening, all of those things will affect. But the general rule is that Monte Carlo will be the slowest of the surfaces that I play this year. Madrid, where we are this week, will be the quickest of them. Back to Rome, which again will be slow, and we'll finish off at Roland Garros in the French, where it's somewhere in between, but still on the slower side. So I think personally my preference is for the faster paced clay courts, so Madrid should suit me the best, and then probably after that Roland Garros would be the next of them. But I do enjoy playing in clay. I have no issue playing in Monte Carlo, where I actually did well, or Rome. Rome, the challenge might be the weather. But here I am in Madrid, the draws are out, and one thing that has changed is, and I may have to change the name of my podcast, it's the 15th seed, but in fact I'll front up as the 14th seed, because whilst in the initial seedings I was 15th, Novak Djokovic has withdrawn for at this time unspecified reasons, not sure what the nature of the injury is or whether it's other reasons. But he's done so at a time that they can redo the draw. So, yeah, congratulations to him if he was not able to play, to make that call as early as you can, because it doesn't always happen. And I understand that sometimes it can be outside a player's control. They also get people want to leave it to the last moment to see if they can play, if they've got some injury. But when players withdraw late and there's no time to redo the draw and redo the seeds, then for mine it affects the integrity of the event. You know, somebody's going to miss out on a seeded draw and might have to play a better player earlier. Even a player who is seeded who might have been a lower seeding will play a better player earlier in the draw. We know things don't always work out that way, but seedings are there for a particular reason. And those players who leave it too late to reseed the draw, I can be very critical of. And so pat on the back for Novak to do the right thing this time. So the draw has been redone, reseeded, and I'm actually the 14th seed this week, even though I was originally the 15th seed. Either way, I would have had a bye first round. I will play the winner of Thomas Makac from Czechoslovakia, or Emil Ruusu-Juvori of Finland. And Emil has had quite a good year this year, but if I'm going to back anyone, it'd be Thomas Makac, who I played earlier this year for a very good win. I don't think he played particularly well that match, so I'm expecting a lot of improvement in him if I get to play him. Now, if I'm able to win through that, Alexander Bublik is the next seeded player on the agenda, from Kazakhstan, and a fellow who's capable of anything. He's wonderful to watch, very difficult to play because you don't know what you're going to get. But on seedings, it'd then be Medvedev, Sinner, Alcaraz, if you were to go all the way through. So pretty tough and testing draw with all of the best players here, bar Novak Djokovic. The interest here in Madrid is that five times winner Rafa Nadal is back. He played the first event of the year in Queensland, Australia, and then recently in Barcelona, where he lost second round. So he now returns to a place where he's had great results over quite a number of years. So it'll be good to assess where he's at. And it's hard to think he can keep coming back and coming back with injuries and age. But gee, with Rafa Nadal on clay, you just never know. So I'm going to watch that one with interest. So here we are on the eve of the start of the event. The qualifiers has been a very deep event. We have Sinner, Alcaraz, Zverev, Rue, Tsitsipas. It's very, very strong. So until I know whether I'm playing Thomas Makac or Ruusu-Juvori, it's bye for now. And thank you, ball people. Thank you, Hawkeye.